Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, before we start the show, let's talk about our Amazon link for the holidays at bobseska.com. Whether you're shopping for yourself or if you're buying music by one of our excellent indie bands, or if you're getting a jump on your holiday shopping without leaving your house, don't forget to use our Amazon link just beneath the logo at bobseska.com. Our special link will take you to the front page of amazon.com where you can go shopping until you're dropping. And by doing so through our link, we receive a teeny tiny commission on some of your purchases. Thank you for shopping through our Amazon link. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this? What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is this? Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie? Look at this. Is this what you call a Thanksgiving Day dinner? Did we come across town for this? We're supposed to be served a real Thanksgiving dinner.
Don't feel bad, Chuck. Peppermint Patty didn't mean all those things she said. Actually, she really likes you.
I don't feel bad for myself. I just feel bad because I ruined everyone's Thanksgiving.
But Thanksgiving is more than eating, Chuck. You heard what Linus was saying out there. Those early pilgrims were thankful for what had happened to them. And we should be thankful, too. We should just be thankful for being together. I think that's what they mean by Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown.
Bob Seska. We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show.
The role of Peppermint Patty being played by President Donald Trump this year. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, November 19, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. It's the greatest damn soap ever. Hi, what's up? What's happening? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Day 1,034 of the Trump crisis, day 59 of the impeachment of Donald Trump, 349 days until the 2020 presidential election. And without any further ado, let's bring him in, my friend Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
I can't talk right now. I'm watching my stories. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving coming up. We're thankful for all of you. Bob, I'm certainly thankful for you. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. We're ready for the show. I'm wearing a nice jacket, and Bob's in shirt sleeves.
Again.
Anybody other than me get the feeling this Trump guy is bad news and that he's going to go through some things?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know where I heard that, but I can't stay very long today. I got to get out of here. It doesn't have anything to do with monitoring hearings. I'm off to the hospital. I want to get an unscheduled head start on next year's physical.
You too.
I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. Thank you for your concern. I hate to say this, though, with the holiday coming up, I think it's going to be a tough Thanksgiving. I have a feeling people are going to be fighting over more than just a drumstick.
Probably. I'm getting ready. I've got my headgear.
He may be using the drumstick as a weapon. I don't know. There's talk now that the president might not pardon a Thanksgiving turkey this year. He just found out the turkey's the whistleblower. He thinks everyone's the whistleblower.
Yeah.
Off with his head. I'm thinking about getting you. I've figured this out. I'm kind of excited. I don't want to spoil the surprise. I'm thinking about getting you the board game A Clue for Christmas.
Oh, very nice.
Because I was thinking if the Trump presidency were a game of Clue, we'd already know it was Trump in the Oval Office, and the tool was Rudy Giuliani. I think it's all pretty clear to me. Game over, right?
Yeah.
Game over.
Game over. That is settled. Case closed. Holy shit. Well, thank you for joining me today, my friend. And lots to talk about. We've got testimony happening right now with Jennifer Williams and Lieutenant Colonel Vindman in the House Intelligence Committee. And we want to get to all of that here in just a second. Plus, maybe a little bit recapping of what happened late last week with the testimony there of Marie Yovanovitch and the ramifications of all of that. But before we dig in... Buzz.
I'm dizzy.
Yeah. And well, you know, the biggest news story, it ain't the impeachment. The biggest news story of the last 24 hours is of course, Fartgate, right?
That's what I'm hearing. Yes.
We have to talk about Fartgate. In fact, Stephanie Miller, that was the first thing she asked me this morning when I was on her show, was Fartgate, because we have our priorities as podcasters. You know, it's not all outrage. It's farts sometimes. Well, those of you who don't know, last night on Hardball on Chris Matthews' show on MSNBC, Eric Swalwell was the guest. And as he was explaining something about the impeachment, right in the middle of that, there was an audible fart sound. And now there's all kinds of speculation on Twitter as to where the fart sound came from. Could have been Swalwell, but I think the safe money is on Chris Matthews. Here's the actual clip.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election.
Yeah, see, now that is unmistakable.
Well, we're going to have to run that down to the lab. We might have to slow that down, but it sounds to me like, and I hate to say this because he's a fine cut of a man, but the way Eric Swalwell pauses there indicates a muscular exertion.
Oh, wow. So we have one vote for Swalwell,
As investigators, I think we have an obligation to go over the tape again.
Okay. Here's that Swalwell tape again.
Taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election.
Isn't that... You've done that. We've all done that where you're saying, and you just need, give me a second, and then you can continue with your sentence. He's a fine cut of a man, and I think we can all be very proud of Eric Swalwell, but with all these hearings, your diet gets thrown out of whack. And so I'm thinking, where is Chris Matthews remains on a soft diet at all times, so.
Chris Matthews had the crab cakes for lunch, I think.
I rest my case.
And of course, I had to make a drop in of it. So we've got this.
That's the actual one. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. One for the archive. You know, when they do those archival things like they've done about Watergate and other significant events in history, that recording will be in like the museum. You can go by and
be a
red button on the wall. Kids can push and listen.
All the President's Men, of course, Walter Cronkite reporting on the JFK assassination. And of course, this, right, the sound of the Chris kids. Matthews. I say it's Chris Matthews, or it could be Eric Swalwell. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, normally I think Chris is your first suspect, but in any good mystery, your first suspect is often not the actual culprit. And I think in this case, we have recorded evidence that it was very likely Mr. Swalwell. I'm sorry. I didn't want to bring you these results. I'm just the investigator.
And the rule is he who smelt it dealt it. So, I mean, it could be anyone in that room. They just have to tell us who smelt it first. Okay, so we've got, in all seriousness, we've got day three of the public impeachment testimony in the impeachment of Donald Trump. Colonel Vindman, I think, blowing most people away in terms of the content of what he was saying today. Jennifer Williams right there, too, testifying side by side. There's more testimony this afternoon, isn't there, Buzz? Who's testifying later on today?
There is. I'm so glad you asked, Bob. I've got it right here.
Really good.
Kurt Volker, former special envoy for Ukraine, and one of the Three Amigos, by the way, very exciting,
right.
And also NSC official Tim Morrison.
I see.
That's coming up this afternoon as soon as you and I finish recording this show.
Right.
And in all seriousness, Colonel Vindman's testimony, we keep saying this, I know, but each testimony seems to top the previous.
Mm-hmm.
This may have been the most powerful thing said so far
in
the impeachment hearings, if I may quote this again.
Sure.
I was fortunate enough to have my fingers covering the keyboard when he started saying this, and I just knew in my gut it was going to be something important, and I was able to capture it word for word. And so this is an amazing quote from Colonel Vindman today. Without hesitation, I knew I had to report this. I had concerns, and it was my duty to report to the people in the proper chain of command. It was improper for the president to demand an investigation into a political appointment, especially a foreign power, end quote. Wow.
Wow, yeah.
This from a Purple Heart recipient and a man whose integrity can't be impugned unless you're a Republican.
Or unless you're Donald Trump Jr., who's been poking at Lieutenant Colonel Vindman all morning, from his stammering all the way down. And of course, Donald Trump Jr., someone who's only ever fired a gun to murder exotic animals, is now impugning, as along with the rest of the Republican Party, as you just said, a decorated military war veteran, a wounded warrior, and this is their sport now. They're aligned with the dilettante, whiny former host of The Celebrity Apprentice over someone who fought in Iraq and took shrapnel in that endeavor.
Or as we call it, Tuesday. I mean, that's
that's
what they do. And it is frightening that they represent the numbers that they still do, even though those numbers have receded. There's still a significant force out there in favor of the president. And I have to take a minute here to say how appalled I was, how jarred I was to hear Ranking Member Devin Nunes say today or to launch today that attack on the media. It was essentially a speech to the American people, urging the American people not to pay any attention to Pulitzer Prize-winning mainstream news reporting by ethical journalists. We already have. I've been sorely depressed on one level this week, and that is the loss of facts and loss of faith in a free press.
Understatement,
confused as to how we ever get that back. And to pile on to that, to hear Member Nunes say what he said today, I wanted to throttle him, figuratively speaking, of course.
Yes, politically. Right. Right.
Politically, I'd like to, freedom of speech, no, just politically throttle him.
That's right. Well, I mean, the thing that I keep going back to, whenever I hear them impugning and attacking a decorated war veteran, I go back to 2004. This is something that we've observed all along. 2004 at the Republican National Convention, George Bush's second his first renomination for the presidency. There were Republican delegates wearing purple bandages to mock John Kerry's Purple Hearts and his decorations from Vietnam, knowing full well that both Bush and Cheney somehow were able to skirt going to Vietnam, and they never actually made it to.
They actually wore skirts. Yeah. That's how they.
That's exactly right. Yes, President Clinger.
When you throw me softballs, I can't help myself.
So, Vindman's opening statement, again, one of the quotes that I noticed in all of this buzz, the thing that stood out for me, and I think for a lot of us, is the following passage, which he addressed to his father. He said, "Dad, my sitting here today in the U.S. Capitol talking to our elected officials is proof that you made the right decision 40 years ago. To leave the Soviet Union and come here, America, in search of a better life for our family. Do not worry. I will be fine for telling the truth."
Oh, my God. Doesn't that sort of bring tears? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, my God. How touching is that? I think it helps America see what an incredibly credible witness this is.
And meanwhile, Devin Nunes is sitting there making this noise, right? Crapping in his pants. And at no time was there more crap in Devin Nunes's pants than when he referred to Colonel Vindman as Mr. Vindman. which is highly disrespectful. Here's that little brief clip from the hearings today.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified in the deposition.
Wow. Wow. That was something else right there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And kudos to your staff for turning these clips around so quickly.
I'm sitting
here rather impressed.
They're working hard. They're scrambling, getting everything together. In fact, I'm being handed new material every second now. Thank
you guys.
Your help. Yeah, I'm talking to no one, by the way. That's how crazy I've become.
I know the feeling.
That's how much I need a break starting next week, I think. Meanwhile, this is something that caught my attention too. Devin Nunes referring to the attack against an American election and an attack that continues through the next American election as the Russian hoax. Again, this is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee.
Putin is thrilled.
Yes, 100%. I mean, this is Devin Nunes taking the word of Vladimir Putin, Konstantin Kilimnik, Paul Manafort, and Donald Trump over the word of the entire United States intelligence community, over the entire Senate Intelligence Committee, which is run by Republicans, that has unequivocally come out and said, yes, Russia attacked us in order to help Donald Trump. And then, the complete Mueller report, especially that first section of the Mueller report. And Devin Nunes is perpetuating this idea that it didn't happen at all, and that it was Ukraine that actually hacked us in an attempt to frame Russia in that endeavor. And see, this is infuriating. What were we gonna
say? Two dangerous forces at work here. The damaging, nation-damaging things that Nunes said today, and an uneducated and politically illiterate populace, willing to believe it or willing to listen to it or willing to consider it even credible. This is a dangerous combination. He's telling people who don't know any better lies, and this goes to just what I was talking about this age of disinformation in which we live.
And there's no bigger bit of disinformation right now than this insane CrowdStrike conspiracy theory. And that's essentially what every Republican on that House Intelligence Committee, especially Devin Nunes, especially Jim Jordan, certainly Congresswoman Stefanik, this is the idea that they're pushing. They're pushing the concept that this cybersecurity firm, CrowdStrike, conspired with Ukraine and the DNC to hack the DNC server. Not Russia, which we have absolute unequivocal evidence of. Wasn't Russia, it was those three entities working in concert with each other.
And we know exactly where this theory came from. It came from Russia's Konstantin Kilimnik.
Yep.
And we're now living in an age where elected lawmakers in this country are spouting this Russian conspiracy theory that we know not to be true.
Yep.
All of our intelligence agencies say it was Russia. There's no evidence that Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election. And despite these facts, they're saying it to an ignorant populace that will believe it and embrace it. Now, it's in a minority, this ignorant populace, but just barely, really. I mean, it's closer than you or I would like to see it be. And this is what Nunes has said today angered me. It's damaging. It's one of the most damaging speeches I've ever heard.
The key question in all of this too is why are they pushing these conspiracy theories, whether it's Hunter Biden, whether it's the major conspiracy theory, the most bogus of them all, the CrowdStrike conspiracy theory? Why are they doing this? Well, because they're getting their marching orders from the Kremlin via people like Konstantin Kilimnik and Paul Manafort, who began this entire conspiracy theory about CrowdStrike back in the summer of 2016 when Manafort was still working on the Trump campaign. That's where this came from. And the reason they're doing it is, of course, in defense of Donald Trump himself, but also because their loyalty appears to be 100% devoted to Vladimir Putin and appeasing Russia and Russian interests. That's why they're doing this, because they have no choice. They have no choice but to do it. There's no alternative for them. For them to say, yes, Russia did this, it runs contrary to what they're being possibly paid or coerced to say. And that is, in and of itself, one of the most dangerous, damaging things in all of this. As you were just saying, I mean, the damage is enormous and incalculable right now, that we have elected officials in this country, including the president, including the ranking member, the one day, at one point, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, pushing forward this made up nonsense, this bullshit story from a Russian stooge with links to both Putin and Oleg Deripaska. It is shocking, shocking to watch.
This is like a Twilight Zone or a 1960s sci-fi movie in which we suddenly realize that the aliens are already here disguised as us, and they are here in tremendously frightening numbers. in many ways, it looks like this is, it feels like when we talk about it on these terms, it feels like more than we can handle because there's quite a lot here. I'm confident that the sort of focused track the Democrats are on in the House, with that track, justice will prevail. But this feels like bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of sinking Twilight Zone feeling there. Mm. I certainly understand. I'm Mr. Merry Sunshine online, because there are so many people out there who are pessimistic, and I get it. Oh, believe me. Yeah. Oh, you don't have to tell me. I get it. I totally get it. But we can't do that a lot of times. And I try to talk people off the ledge and succeed more times than I would have expected. So I just think that's an important thing to do. But I understand this feeling of being overwhelmed. Is it bigger than we are? Is it more than we can handle? I think the track the Democrats are on will be okay, but it certainly has that big, scary feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, the thing that's the most scary aspect of all of this, Buzz, is the fact that I have no blessed clue how you fix something like this. I mean, there are systemic things that you can do. There are legislative, certainly constitutionally, you can do some things to close up some of these loopholes that Donald Trump has exposed. But how do you fix the fact that Donald Trump and all of his disciples, including most of the conservative entertainment complex, or what I refer to today as the Red Hat entertainment complex, how do you hold them accountable for taking on, in fact, denying the word of American patriots and accepting the word of someone who is in the middle of not only attacking and invading the United States using cyber weapons, but also who has already attacked and invaded Ukraine, one of our strategic allies in that region. Of course, as we know, once Ukraine falls to Vladimir Putin, next on deck is Eastern Europe, because Ukraine sits right on the doorstep of Eastern Europe.
That's the gateway drug for Putin. That's how he gets his clutches back into.
Yeah.
It's been his goal all along to reassemble the Soviet Union. That's been his mission. He was a KGB agent for the Soviet Union. Things changed after with Reagan and after, but it has been every day since then Putin's goal to reclaim, not only reclaim the Soviet Union, but to make further advances. And that's why Ukraine is so strategically, diplomatically important to the United States.
Yeah.
This is really our front line. In exchange for dirt on Joe Biden, is that how we're playing this now? Well, clearly we are. And, we're up against a very stubborn Republican Party here. I still think they've got to let go at some point. As far as to your question, how do we call to account Fox News and others and even Republicans for what they've done? I have a feeling. The answers will vary and the severity will vary. But I think karma, driven by the will of the people, will take care of each of them individually. I think. Who knows? Maybe it'll involve the financial collapse of Fox News that comes about somehow, or Michael Bloomberg buys it, or any number of things that could change to make sure that the folks who played such a role in this dangerous game never get to do so again.
Yeah, and in fact, toward the end of my Salon piece that I published this morning about the CrowdStrike conspiracy theory, if you need to know more about that, you need to know more details, go and look at that piece, because it, it goes into significant, as Rachel Maddow says, granular detail about the aspects of this conspiracy theory. But I ended it by saying that there needs to be a reckoning after all this is over. And I don't know exactly what that reckoning should involve, but I mean, this goes back to what I was saying about accountability.
You're going to need a rubber suit in a really fast car.
Yes, I'm actually on the market. I'm going to go check Craigslist for that. But seriously, it's something where I feel like at the very least, this entire cabal needs to be marginalized and kept away from serious business from now on. And I'm talking about not allowing people like Donald Trump Jr. onto The View moving forward, not allowing these guys to enjoy the same kind of attention and privileges that people of nobler intent enjoy in this country. And to just, I hope, this is my sincere hope, that they are humiliated back into the margins so they don't even want to show their face anymore. I mean, not only are people not inviting them to appear publicly, but they may not even want to appear publicly. That's how badly they need to be humiliated on their way out the door. And this needs to be a door that closes and locks behind them and doesn't allow... For example, one thing that I know we're going to see after all this is over is the rehab process. You know what I mean? Where it was the same with George W. When George W. Bush left office, it was a lot of, well, you know, I didn't really like him in the first place. I was just kind of holding my nose and supporting him anyway because la 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 la. Okay, I get it with George W. Bush. Maybe that's acceptable. Not with this group. Not with these people. Not after what they've done. And again, this current display that we're seeing happening, playing out right now in Congress, certainly including this conspiracy theory where the word of Vladimir Putin is being taken over the word of not one but two branches of the American federal government, it can't be allowed to pass. It can't be allowed to sustain beyond this horrible dark ride.
And I absolutely agree. And the only thing I'm chuckling about is I'm picturing you as Bob the Avenger, you know, because you're... And the truth is, after... But after Watergate, there were many reforms that took place, some of which faded away, some of which don't apply. And in the case of George W. Bush, he did some horrible, awful things. I mean, the war in Iraq, the waterboard, the torture, all these horrible things that happened under his administration. They weren't as bad as they were, as horrific as they were. They weren't government overturning. Yeah. Like these are.
Right.
These have turned or threatened to turn government upside down, perhaps forever, perhaps for a very long time. That's how that high stakes this is. And so this is much worse than anything we've seen before.
At the very best, George W. Bush did not necessarily undermine the functioning of the United States government.
Right.
Where Donald Trump has absolutely done that to the point, once again, of accepting Russian propaganda over American facts, American evidence, American investigations. This is where we are, and it is horrifying to observe, and thank God there are people like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and Jennifer Williams and certainly Marie Yovanovitch last week being the brunt of the, not only the Republican disinformation campaign, but also the Republican misogyny, because that's what, you know what triggered Donald Trump to post that tweet on Friday in the midst of Marie Yovanovitch's testimony? It was all about Donald Trump's hatred of women. Donald Trump, women are there to be masturbated into. They're not there for anything substantive as far as he's concerned, outside of maybe his daughter.
That will be in his psychological profile, but I think, you know, the narcissism and some other things will be probably the focus of that psychological study when his brain is examined by science.
Well, whatever is left of it when they get around to that, because the worms, you know, if the worms are devouring his brain, there may not be left
that
much.
They might be. That might be why we haven't seen him for a couple of days and he had the surprise trip to the hospital, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting a head start on next year's physical.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in just a second, the whole Donald Trump health situation as it stands right now. But the first thing I want to say before we get into all of that is it's been a while since I not only had my teeth cleaned, but it's also been a while since I tried whitening my teeth. And Buzz, I got to tell you, I was not happy with some of the over-the-counter solutions to teeth whitening. I thought those whitening trays are sloppy, and I don't like having that in my mouth. They're expensive. Wow. In fact, they started to burn my gums too. And then the whitening strips, they cost a fortune, and I really didn't notice any difference. And of course, going to the dentist is a lot of out-of-pocket expenses and so on, time off of work and what have you. But the holidays are coming, office parties, family gatherings, all those cringeworthy pics, smiling with discolored coffee stained teeth, although it makes my teeth sound worse than they really are. I do need to whiten my teeth, but I mean, I'm making my teeth sound like they're candy corn or something. They're not. But I could always use a sparkling pearly white smile. And in order to do that, I've got right here my fresh new box of Power Swabs. You never really whiten until you whiten with Power Swabs. They're clinically proven to whiten an average of 2 shades in the first 5 minutes. Power Swabs never leave my teeth and gums all sore and sensitive like other whitening treatments, and it's totally safe and effective on all dental work. If you're not happy, Power Swabs are backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. You need to try Power Swabs, and you'll not believe how much whiter your teeth will be, again, in just 5 minutes. I got you a great deal, too. Go to buypowerswabs.com. Use my code SEXY, S-E-X-Y, for 40% off and an additional $10 off plus a free quick stick. That's right, 40% off plus an extra $10 off plus, there's more, a free quick stick. Or you can call 1-800-668-1749. Use my code SEXY. Again, 1-800-668-1749. Using the code SEXY. That's buypowerswabs.com. Code SEXY. Visit buypowerswabs.com today. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show.
This is music from Battle Tapes. The song is called No Good from the Form album. Love Battle Tapes. One of our favorites here on the show. One of our favorites of our listeners. One of the most requested recording artists that we get. Thank you to all of our recording artists for submitting your music. Again, bobseska.com/music if you want to submit. Please do so, and thank you so much. Another indie music countdown coming up at the end of this month. You know what? It's going to be the last indie music countdown of this year, and I will tell you why. Because after Thanksgiving, I'm rolling out the Christmas music. And so, as a consequence, at the end of December, there won't really be an indie music countdown because I'll be playing all Christmas music throughout December, and everyone's going, oh, well, those are shows I won't listen to.
You old sentimentalist, you.
Well, you know, I'm Clark Griswold. I got to roll out all the decorations on the show, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, what were we going to talk about here next up on the show? Oh, yes, Donald Trump and his emergency visit to the clinic the other day. We'll get back to, I want to talk about Marie Yovanovitch's testimony here in just a second, but... Okay. Before we dive into that, what do you think about this, Buzz? Is this much ado about nothing, or is this, do you think, something we should keep a closer eye on?
Well, I think we should absolutely keep an eye on it. It may be nothing. It may be nothing. Hang on. I'm just about to post the breaking news here. The morning session for today's impeachment hearing has ended. An afternoon session is due to begin at 3. So Bob and I are actually squeezing the show in between hearings today.
Skyrockets in flight, afternoon delay. There you go.
Yeah, indeed. I apologize for being distracted. And, you know, we were talking about the importance of which again?
Donald Trump's health scare.
You know, we don't know anything yet, obviously. No. And so the imagination can run wild. It is a little odd. It is a little unusual. It is a little irregular. And maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
We just don't know anything yet. But there is a sense, certainly, that there's something going on here. Mm-hmm. And there's hinky enough evidence to indicate there may be something going on here. Clearly, we don't know anything, but yeah, I think it's something we can keep watching.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, I don't know for sure. And again, I want to preface by saying, I don't know. None of us know for certain why he went to Walter Reed suddenly on the spur of the moment. But I do know, and I think we all understand, that Donald Trump is not a healthy man. Donald Trump is not...
What?
Donald Trump does not lead a healthy lifestyle using all four of the major food groups. But he does. He eats a lot of fast food and hamburgers and fried foods and all the rest of it. Junk food, basically. And he's also 70-something years old. He's overweight. And he doesn't sleep at night, too. And is loading himself up with... some kind of uppers. Some have speculated, you know, Sudafeds. Others have speculated Provigil and Adderall.
I'm telling you,
and yeah,
I mean, each passing day, the legend of Donald Trump more closely parallels the legend of Elvis Presley.
Yes,
and I think it's entirely possible they will end the same way.
Yeah, entirely with a 40-pound impacted colon. And I wonder. I mean, so he's going into Walter Reed, and it could be any number of things. Obviously, the speculation has been some sort of chest pains, or I think there was some kind of consensus on Twitter, at least, that it was an anxiety attack, that he thought it might have been a heart attack along those lines. All kinds of rumors flying around, but we don't know for sure. What we do know is that, as I said, it's only a matter of time. So I don't know exactly what it could be, but we should watch carefully, because I do know this for sure. Anything Donald Trump says about any of these things, everything from the Ukraine investigation, the normal functioning of his presidency, all the way down to his health, is 100% bullshit. Everything out of his mouth on some level is a lie or some form of Weasley bullshit. And so that's what we can expect. I mean, so he says, I'm okay. And and who was saying this? Jeanine Pirro the other night was saying that Donald Trump is almost superhuman.
Oh, yeah.
With his stamina and the fact, and they've been kissing his ass saying that, oh, yeah, you know what, too? You look younger, Mr. President, than you did when you first started office. How is that even possible? And it's not possible because it's actually not true. Duh.
You know, it used to be that if you said, the president's a liar in eras prior to this one,
yeah.
If you said that, that would be considered political. That would be, that's a political statement. No, yeah. Today it's not a political statement. It's a factual statement.
Statement of fact.
And which is one of the scary things here is that we're used to hearing it as a political thing. So to many, to say the president's a liar is a political statement.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Yep.
But at the present time, it's not. At the present time, it's literal. It's true. The president is a liar. Who would have thought this would be normal discourse? Who would have thought it normal that the president lied? Oh, yeah, he does that all the time.
Yeah.
Who saw that day coming?
Right. Well, as you know, Buzz, you and I both having close relatives who are Trump supporters, you go to them and say, you know... Right. You go to them and say, you know, Donald Trump has lied over 14,000 times, according to the Washington Post. And the response invariably will be, oh, bullshit. Politicians always lie. You mean to tell me Barack Obama never once lied?
They're all the same.
They're all the same. Right. And of course, it's not the same. Politicians bend the truth and they fib and they use weasel words. But that's, I mean, the difference between a normal politician.
And then there's one who lies every fucking time he opens his mouth.
Yes!
Wrong.
100%. There is no comparison whatsoever. It's like the difference between a pinprick and a sucking chest wound. This guy is a volcano of lies that is unprecedented. And even some of his supporters will concede, yeah, you know what? I take what he says with a grain of salt. Well, how can you possibly believe anything that he says then? If you think that he's lying to you most of the time, how can you possibly accept anything as being the truth? What if he's just lying with the things that you think he's telling the truth about, too?
That's a lot of grains of salt, and as doctors will tell you, that will contribute to high blood pressure. So maybe not so many grains of salt might be a good thing.
That's right. All those hamburgers, he loves them, the hamburgers. Yeah, thank you, Chris Matthews. Okay, so Nancy Pelosi obviously has been at the tip of the spear in all of this. Donald Trump not thrilled about Nancy Pelosi these days. And in fact, the president, despite his alleged health concerns, stepped out and did a cabinet meeting this morning and was screaming at reporters once again. Here's the president remarking on Nancy Pelosi and the impeachment process that we're seeing underway today.
I think the woman is grossly incompetent. And we're having a problem because Mexico and Canada are calling, saying, what's going on? And it's sitting on her desk. She doesn't need Democrats because the Democrats are going to vote for it. All she has to do is put it up for a vote. She's said for months now, oh, well, no, she likes it, she wants it, she likes it, she wants it. The woman is grossly incompetent. All she wants to do is focus on impeachment, which is just a little pipe dream she's got. And she can keep playing that game. And I've been told, and who knows if this is so, but I think it's so, I have pretty good authority on it, that she's using USMCA because she doesn't have the impeachment votes. So she's using USMCA to get the impeachment vote.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there, not only because Tiny Trump is becoming increasingly difficult to understand for some reason.
Dude's paranoid, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Oh my God, is he paranoid. And what he's doing a lot of these days is projection. What they're doing is all the attacks on Donald Trump, that he's melting right. down, that he's grossly incompetent and all the rest of it. They're just taking that and turning it around.
He almost had a song there. She likes it, she wants it, she likes it, she wants it.
That's right.
You might be able to do something with that. I don't know.
Well, the other thing is that Nancy Pelosi already has the votes for impeachment. I mean, I'm talking about the final votes on the articles of impeachment. She's done a whip count. She knows what she's doing. The votes are there. There's no need to coerce more people to vote for impeachment using the USMCA. Although, I mean, there may actually be something happening behind the scenes where maybe Nancy Pelosi wants to get a few more Republican votes, get a couple of Republican votes in there so she can say it's bipartisan. And she may, in fact, be using the USMCA, which is basically a copy of NAFTA that Donald Trump is passing off as being better than NAFTA. But so I guess it's possible that she's doing that, although we go back to our conversation of just 5 minutes ago, Buzz, which is to say Donald Trump lies about everything. So there's probably no truth whatsoever to Nancy Pelosi using the USMCA to coerce people into supporting impeachment. It's just bogus.
If it happens, it happens, yeah.
Right, right, right. So Nancy Pelosi said about Donald Trump and his tweet about Marie Yovanovitch, the witness intimidation we saw on Friday, Pelosi said, he made a mistake. Quote, I think part of it is his own insecurity. This is so great. As an imposter, he knows full well he's in that office way over his head, and so he has to diminish everyone else. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, just referred to the president the other day as an imposter. She knows exactly how to press his buttons.
Yeah, and that's what it was. That was more for his benefit than it was for the public. She wasn't talking to the general public when she spoke into the microphones and the cameras and said that. She was talking to the president. And so she was trolling him. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. And I certainly feel with the amount of trolling that he's done that he's earned it. No, I think Pelosi and Congress are on the right track here, and I think they're doing a very good job. How much it'll change minds in the public, I don't know, but this ain't over yet. We haven't heard from Dr. Fiona Hill yet, who's going to cap off this testimony. There are miles to go before we sleep, and a lot of people have said, you know, well, there haven't been a lot of bombshells so far. Well, first of all, there have, but if it hasn't seemed like it, it's because we're not even to the middle of this thing yet.
Yeah.
In terms of number of witnesses being deposed or interviewed publicly here. So, the show's not over yet. And this is carefully scripted. Yeah. We've known going in that these witnesses were laid out in a certain order for a certain reason. And their witnesses were chosen for a certain reason, in some cases, because they're incredibly convincing. So this play has already been written, and it's our job to sit down and shut up until the play is over, and then Congress and the American people can decide.
What you have to do, and I'm speaking you in general, is to look at these events as if you're seeing them for the first time. I mean, we all, Buzz, you and I, and everyone else listening to this show, we have our our faces pressed against our computer screen, absorbing this stuff osmotically every damn day. But there are millions of people tuned into the broadcast on all the major news networks, and certainly on the broadcast networks as well, and hearing a lot of this information for the first time. I think for them, the bombshells are there. I think they're seeing it. But when you hear a pundit on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC saying, well, I didn't see any bombshells. Like Jonathan Allen last week saying, oh, we need more pizzazz. Well, yeah. You know, Jonathan Allen, again, just like the rest of us, has his face pressed against his computer screen and he's following all these things. So he knows all of the details as they've been emerging through some of the released closed door testimony and so on. So, of course, nothing's going to come as a surprise to him. But and it doesn't need to, yeah.
Yeah, nothing can have the pizzazz of Eat Shit Bob as presented by John Oliver last week. Nothing has that.
No, see, that's what
people.
Not.
But see, now people are spoiled and they want that in everything.
That's so. Right.
Shit!
Spoiler.
So there,
another better.
You want pizzazz? There's your pizzazz.
There's the pizzazz.
Well, tomorrow's hearing will be a musical.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe they just need Chris Matthews down in the hearing room farting randomly, and that'll add pizzazz to the proceedings, I'm sure. So let's see. So going back to the Marie Yovanovitch testimony on Friday, and my ongoing theme, my ongoing maxim for observing the Donald Trump presidency, which is that Trump always makes things worse for Trump. He just he can't help himself. One of his things is constantly asking himself, what does this button do? And so leaning on one of the many buttons that he shouldn't be pressing, Donald Trump tweeted out what amounts to witness intimidation and will probably end up being another article of impeachment. But the White House responded along these lines. We, of course, all know the tweet itself and what happened. But the White House responded, the tweet was not witness intimidation. It was simply the president's opinion, which he is entitled to. This is not a trial. This is a partisan political process, blah, blah, blah. Well, Trump also tweeted over the weekend something to the effect of, I'm just exercising my free speech. Mm-hmm. Well, as we all know, anyone with, you know, more than a first grade education knows that free speech is not absolute. Perjury is against the law. Witness intimidation is against the law.
Oh, he's free to speak himself into breaking the law. You can definitely, you're allowed in this country. That's one of the great things about America. You're allowed to say something that incriminates you. That's what he did in this case. Here's my take on it. Very simply, he just wanted to be involved. There was a TV show. No, seriously, I am not kidding. I am not kidding. There was a TV show. Everybody was watching. He wanted to be on it. He wanted his chance to respond. Of course, he's refused to turn over any documents.
Right.
He's refused to allow his people to testify. Mm. But when he heard what he heard on TV from Marie Yovanovitch, now he wanted to be involved. Now he wants to testify, and he wants to do it via Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, it don't work that way, champ. And you've just gotten yourself into legal trouble here.
Yeah.
You've just made it worse for yourself, compounding the obstruction of justice, which will be one of your articles of impeachment, by witness intimidation and witness tampering. This is, you know, it's because he's stupid. Nobody had a chance to stop him. He just wanted to be involved. He wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
He could not help himself.
Yeah, I mean, the dividing line between what Donald Trump said and free speech is like the difference between saying, well, you can say anything you want, whether or not you should or you're allowed to say those things. Well,
whether there are consequences for saying those things.
Yes,
you can, and this has been my thing about, well, you know, because you hear this from conservatives, I got my right to free speech. Yeah, but that with that comes responsibility. And with free speech come consequences for irresponsible speech. There are legal, civil, and criminal consequences for speech of various kinds, as there should be.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, everybody has the right to free speech, and everybody has the right to incriminate themselves.
Well, it's easy to figure out anything in the world of Donald Trump, what his motivations are, why he's saying what he's saying. And it's because Donald Trump's instincts are criminal ones. Donald Trump thinks like a mobster. And so the things that he blurts are all in service of those instincts. His gut is constantly telling him, I got to do whatever I can do to wiggle out of the trouble I've already created for myself. And you know what? It's going to cause me even more trouble, but I don't care because I'm the strongest, best, greatest guy ever. And everything I do is golden. I mean, it's an amazing thing to observe psychologically, because all at the same time, he's got these criminal instincts, but he doesn't believe he's got these criminal instincts. Or if he does, he's making excuses as to why he doesn't.
Here's why it seems criminal. First of all, criminals laugh at Donald Trump because he's so stupid.
Yeah.
If he were to be a criminal, he would be a very bad one. He would be a very stupid criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Donald Trump is more accurately described as an immature individual, maybe about the emotional level of an 8-year-old who, lashes out in the way an 8-year-old does. I think his responses come from a place of that insecurity and of ignorance. The ignorance and insecurity of being an emotional 8-year-old makes him respond the way he does. And it certainly appears criminal because of its evil intent and evil effect.
Yeah.
But like I said, real criminals, I think, laugh at the guy.
Well, he's got these criminal instincts, but at the same time, he's got this victimhood complex. So, and it's these are things that are, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but I try desperately not to put Donald Trump on the couch. But I mean, this is inevitable to reach these conclusions.
Oh, go ahead.
That Donald Trump's criminality plus his victimhood complex are in concert, both features of narcissistic personality disorder.
Sure, absolutely.
So what he's doing is he's breaking the law all over the place, and then when he's held accountable for it, he's going, why are you attacking me?
Because he's never been held accountable. This is an emotionally 8-year-old individual who has never been held accountable. And I think, I think that emotional immaturity and the lack of education that goes with it explain his behavior more than anything else.
That's
and
right.
Is there evil in his heart? Oh, you betcha. But I can find you an 8-year-old who has evil in his heart too.
All those evil 8-year-olds. I know. I know exactly what you're talking
about. You've seen the movies. You know.
All right, on that note, we're going to take one last quick break, and when we come back, I need to thank some of my Patreon subscribers. Today is Thank You Patrons Day on Patreon, so I want to thank some of my Patreon subscribers. Plus, I want to talk about David Holmes and Gordon Sondland, and the testimony that I think goes hand in hand with each other, and how that's really, really bad news for Donald Trump. All that and more coming up right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
I thought they had me up in Crown Point like they had Johnny years ago. I thought they had me surrounded. One thing that they didn't know, that I had me a plan.
This guy right here, Michael McDermott, is rapidly ascending my list of all-time favorite recording artists. I cannot get enough of this guy's music. There was a song that he released a while back about his dad that I was sharing with you, Buzz, on on Sunday night as I was listening to it. This is a different song. This is called Getaway Car from his Willow Springs album. But it's like every song I land on from Michael McDermott, it's even better than the previous song I listened to by him. And it's just amazing, amazing work. Michael McDermott, link in the description below. Make sure to support all of his music. And tissues not included. I'll just let you know that.
he's very good, as are all the artists that you play. I enjoy him very much. I just have one question for you, Bob.
Yes.
You going country on my boy?
No. I don't actually consider Michael McDermott to be country necessarily, although we do have a couple of country recording artists on the list. Yeah.
That's why I brought it up. Yeah, I've heard a couple that lean in that direction.
Yeah.
It's all right, you know, to each his own. I'm not a fan. I grew up with it. My dad had a record. They actually used them.
Yeah.
He had a record called These Tears Have Washed I Love You from the Blackboard of My Heart.
Wow.
I swear to God, it was not a novelty record. It was like a real song, or so people thought.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I said before the break, today is Thank You Patrons Day on our Patreon page. It's something that's happening across all creator pages on Patreon. And so we're all taking a moment out to thank all of our subscribers. And I really have to say here and now that I am grateful beyond words for the support that I get on Patreon specifically. And that is because the support on Patreon allows me to do this basically as my full-time job. I do some other things along the way too, but mainly my job is hosting a podcast now. And it's what I've wanted to do. Maybe not specific to podcasting, because when I was 10 years old in 1981, I had no idea what podcasting was and no one did. But when I was 10 years old, I would sit in my bedroom and I would, with a little record player and a little boombox, and host my own little radio shows. And I did that for way longer than I'm willing to admit, as far as recording my own little fake radio shows in my bedroom. But
and when people hear that sad story, they give Bob money, is how that works.
He's so pathetic. Here's a dollar,
that
Bob.
That poor child. No, I don't mean to take away from this moment. Because I know how serious you are about it. I know how important it is to you.
Yes, that's right. When I was sitting alone in my cutoff jeans in the 1980s, recording on top of spaghetti plate at 45 RPM when it was a 33 RPM record, you know, because it was hilarious. And what am I doing now? I'm playing recordings of the president where it sounds like a 33 RPM record played at 45 RPMs. So some things never change. And
exactly.
But I mean, honestly, I'm still sitting in my room recording a show.
I know. So am I. Know? We're all guilty. We're all guilty. I'm guilty of all those things and more. And I was just struggling. Me how sad that terribly sad that must sound to everyone else. But
well, I mean, it's
that's what we did.
In all seriousness, it is what I have always wanted to do.
Yeah.
I have always wanted to host my own radio show since I was 10 years old, watching WKRP in Cincinnati and wanting to be Dr. Johnny Fever. Because of that, listening to Hardin and Weaver on WMAL and then Don Geronimo on WAVA and then on and on and on.
All kinds
of influence. David Letterman was a big influence in there too. But now I get to do this exact thing that I've wanted to do for 40 years, and it's because of all of you supporting us on our Patreon page. And I just want to name a few of you here since it is Thank You Patrons Day. I want to thank Jeff Tantaric, Grant, Therese Morris, Ron Garbez, Kathy Cole, Ken Hahn, Jody Johnson, Ziggy Blue, who's the master of ceremonies on our Patreon page, Patrick Humphreys, Dave Giselle, Todd Sherry, Rod Rickenbach, Jim Virgin, Mary Dunn, Y'all Blore, Lynn Michelle, Lauren Allen, C.L. Nicholson, Ingvild Eyring, Richard. I'm just, some of these are just one names.
Bob Mooney Gal. Can you slow down? I'm trying to write all these down.
That's right. You're horking my subscriber
That's
list,
right.
aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Slower.
Alexander Fish, our mutual friend Buzz, Amy Taylor, the great Amy Taylor.
Ah, yes.
Joseph Running, who's always the first person to like all of our Patreon posts. Greg Shepard, Pat DeMarco, Don Webb, Scott Smith, Dan Dees, Tracy Collins, Paul Ackerman, John Nelson, Matt Wellman, Let's see. Quad Cities Pat. I love Quad Cities Pat. Ben Temko. I've known Ben Temko for a long, long time. Jenny Quick. Carol Moore. Tim Mulligan. The list goes on and on here. Geraldine Santos. Christopher Loseth. Barbara Pagino. Anthony Duran. Jane Purley. And just, I wish I had time to name everybody. I don't have that kind of time. And everyone who's not subscribed is going, oh, Bob, where's that 15-second advance forward button on my podcast player? But thank you to everyone.
I actually went out to her for a sandwich during the
that. You too? I did, too. No.
I'm sorry. I keep making jokes, and I know how important this is. And I know I'm not taking it as seriously as I perhaps should, because you and I both jointly and separately rely on the support of these wonderful people we couldn't,
yes.
who let us do, like you said, who let us do exactly what we feel we were born to do,
yeah.
however sad that may seem.
Scooter Collins, Aaron Wyatt. I mean, just many names here. You know, the thing is, though, the thing that makes this extra special, Buzz, is the fact that we don't have a program director lurking over our shoulder. All we have to hold us accountable are our listeners. Our listeners, it's a direct one-to-one relationship between us and our listeners. There is no middle management. There's no one telling us. Yeah, there's no one telling us we can and can't say whatever we want to say.
Although some of our listeners are lurkers. I will say that.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of that I don't mind.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. The lurkers are usually the most loyal ones because, you know.
That's true.
Again, what's the rule about callers on a radio show? It's like 1% of your audience actually calls the show. And so it's not a full representation of the broader audience. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's 1% or less of the number of people who will get actively involved or become really super involved in a radio show. Yeah. And but radio, this is great because radio was always considered an intimate medium, more intimate than television or any other.
Yeah.
And here's what I've learned. Podcasting is even more intimate than radio, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, oh yeah, me too. So one of the other things I did today, and then we'll move on back to the testimony today, is that for our top 40 lifetime subscribers, so this is the people who have subscribed with the largest dollar amounts to date, beginning maybe as far back as May 2015 when we started the Patreon page. For those top 40 subscribers, I gave them free access to the entire archive of After Party episodes going all the way back to January 12th, 2012. Which was our first After Party show. And so this is, you're getting an extra 3-4 years of content that isn't available on our Patreon page. And that also happens to include Ches Pazienza as my co-host on all those
shows.
So you're getting you now have access to the entire archive of Ches Pazienza co-hosted After Party episodes. Plus, beginning next year, I'm releasing to those 40 top listeners, 40 top subscribers on our Patreon page, an exclusive phone number to be able to call in and participate in the Friday After Party shows, the designated ones where we decide to take calls. I imagine once or twice a month we'll do that. We'll open up the phones, but we're only going to be taking calls from the people who get that exclusive phone number. It's just my way of adding an additional bonus reward for all of the loyalty and generosity from all of our amazing top Patreon subscribers. So thank you again to all of you. And now back to our regularly scheduled programming, already in progress. Okay, so what were we going to talk? We're going to talk about David Holmes and Gordon Sondland. Now, of course, these two bits of testimony are going to go hand in hand. And it's going to, you want to talk about something where Donald Trump is probably going to have to go back to Walter Reed. These two bits of testimony, I predict, are going to send him into absolute conniptions because, of course, David Holmes is the aide of Bill Taylor, who overheard the loud cell phone call in Kyiv between Gordon Sondland and Donald Trump as they were sitting there in a restaurant over a bottle of wine. And Donald Trump was speaking loudly, and Gordon Sondland didn't mind that everyone in the restaurant could probably hear Donald Trump's voice screaming about investigations.
Now, we don't know why Trump was so loud. He may have been speaking loudly. Sondland probably had his volume turned up all the way on his phone. But here's what actually went down in that moment. When Trump finally did get on the line, you know, Sondland has to go through several people on hold waiting for, and Trump finally gets on the line, and it's just booming loud. And the others at the table say he actually, I enjoy this, Sondland winced and pulled the phone away from his head because it was so freaking loud. And between the loudness of the call, mm-hmm. the quietness of the restaurant, yeah. and the distance between Sondla's head and the receiver, everyone at the table, and for all we know, others in the restaurant, may have over or did or may have overheard that call.
Yeah.
And we also know that because of the part of the world in which that call was made, because Russia owns all four of the phone companies in Ukraine, we're pretty damn sure Ukraine was listening in to that call. So is there anybody who didn't hear that call? That's the more pertinent question.
Yeah, it was so quiet in that restaurant that you could hear Chris Matthews fart is how quiet it was. Yeah, so what we have here is not only the testimony of the guy who overheard the details of the call, but on the heels of that, we're going to get to hear from the guy who was actually on the call with Donald Trump. And the key question to Gordon Sondland is going to be, did this call take place? Did the testimony of David Holmes actually bear out in the context of this phone call to the best of your recollection? And at that point, Gordon Sondland's either going to have to go, you know what, I plead the fifth. Or he's going to have to confirm the existence of that phone call. And that's going to be the clincher. And I mean by clincher, the one that's going to clinch Donald Trump's butthole. Because he's not, because it is going to be one of those bombshell moments if, and in fact, Gordon Sondland confirms the entirety of David Holmes' testimony. David Holmes is Thursday, along with Fiona Hill. So Thursday is going to be explosive. Sondland is tomorrow. So it's going to be reverse of what I said. It'll be David Holmes. Well, I guess Sondland's still going to be asked to confirm the David Holmes testimony because Holmes has already testified behind closed doors. So there's already a record of what he had to say about the call. And the record, I don't know if you had a chance to read David Holmes's testimony yet, Buzz, but the description of that phone call is hilarious.
It is. And that's actually where I got the wincing that Sondland winced as he drew the phone away from his ear with the loud Trump phone call.
Yeah. What was the one quote about his ass, about Trump's ass or something?
Oh, yeah. I almost did a joke about this today. Trump asked, I guess, what Zelensky thought of him or something. I don't remember the exact question. But Sondland's answer was, oh, he loves your ass. Yeah, he'll do whatever you ask him to. He'll do whatever you ask him to. The rest of that.
But talking about Zelensky loving Trump's ass.
He loves your ass. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? He's going to have to shove Mike Pompeo out of the way because I thought Mike Pompeo was the guy who loved Trump's ass more than
anyone. There's a whole line of people. Get in line, pal.
So one last question before we wrap up here, Buzz, for the free portion of the show. Should we panic over this temporary hold by the Supreme Court on Trump's tax returns?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I love the preemptive yes, no matter what it is.
That's my instinctive answer, but the actual answer is no, okay, we should
good,
not.
Good.
The Democrats were all in on this before the Supreme Court even said we're going to put a delay on this. The Democrats' attorney said, you know what, Your Honor, it's fine if you put a delay on this. We want you to take time, Chief Justice, we want you to take time, the justices to take time to think about this, to talk about this. The Democrats will speak again on Friday. That is the same day the justices will be. Well, both.
Oh,
both,
okay.
Bob.
Gotcha.
We'll hear from the Democrats' lawyer on Friday. And then also on Friday, the justices will meet privately and decide whether they're going to take the case. There are all kinds of things that could happen here. Yeah. It could be they could decide in that little meeting. They say, Roberts, you handle this, you know, and right. It could just be. And so he'll just issue a ruling, or they could schedule a vote. And a number of people, because there are so many understandable pessimists out there, have said, oh, the Supreme Court's going to go along with Trump because, don't be so sure. I say keep watching. I think a lot of people are counting on Justice Roberts to save the day here, and I think there's a darn good chance he will.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, and I hope we're both right about this, but yeah, I kind of am leaning toward us being right, based on precedent, based on how the Supreme Court normally operates, and I know we're in abnormal times, but based on the precedent, there's a very solid chance they are going to force Mazars to release Donald Trump's tax returns to the appropriate committees, and that'll be...
Based on... Now, this is important. This is an important fight. I mean, they're not going to just brush this off. A lot of people think this is just about deciding whether or not to turn Trump's taxes over to Congress.
Yeah.
This is a constitutional battle underway. This is a fight between the legislative branch and the executive branch that the judicial branch now has to settle. Yeah. That's what this is. And that's a constitutional battle. And the Supreme Court is here to settle that. And there's a tremendous weight on that decision, combined with the fact that traditionally when lower courts unanimously rule a certain way on something, the Supreme Court will either uphold it or not hear the case, allowing the lower court rulings to stand. In cases about immigration or something else where some courts rule one way and some courts rule another, then the Supreme Court wants to weigh in and settle that. But in this case, where all the lower courts have agreed and said the same thing, no, he has to turn over his taxes, I think we can fairly, almost safely assume that the Supreme Court will force Trump's accountants to turn over his financial records to Congress.
My hunch is basically John Roberts is going to decide, you know what, I don't want any part of this. I'm going to defer back to the appeals court level and go with their ruling.
We're not hearing this case.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to stick his face into that propeller. But the other advantage that this temporary hold gives us is it lulls Donald Trump into a temporary false sense of security. I love that. That Donald Trump maybe today feels like, oh, I've won this.
Yeah.
This is great news for me. And then suddenly down comes the anvil onto his head on Friday.
It's almost always like that. Yeah. He always thinks that as has been the case all his life, that there will be no consequences.
Right.
And we can enjoy the schadenfreude there because we know what the consequences are going to be. We see the anvil falling toward Wile E. Coyote, and we know. And Wile E. Coyote thinks he's fine. You've seen the cartoon. He thinks everything is just ducky, and then bam, you know, and I think that's what we're going to see here.
Yes, and the amazing thing about Trump is he's constantly doing that. He's constantly smacking into the side of a cliff face or falling over a precipice, trying to do whatever it is he's trying to do. The Wile E. Coyote metaphor, what I'm trying to say, is a perfect metaphor for Donald
Trump.
Why
do you think he had to go to Walter Reed?
Exactly right. That damn Acme Corporation and its dynamite always backfiring in Donald Trump's face, and then he has to go to the hospital on Saturday as a result of it.
By the way, I'm so glad that I'm not the guy who has to introduce when they meet. I'm sorry they're meeting, but Ukraine's President Zelensky's meeting with Russia's President Putin. I would not want to be the guy who introduces them by saying, Vladimir, 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 Vladimir. Who needs that job?
That's right. That's right. And I love the reference to Oprah and Uma. That's good for you, my friend. Us being members of our chapter of the Don. What the hell am I trying to say?
David Letterman fan club.
David Letterman, thank you for filling in the blanks for me.
You bet.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Buzz Burbank News and Comments coming up this Thursday. It's going to be, I don't know, 5-6 hours long, I assume.
Not if I can help it, Bob. Here's the challenge. I don't even know if I can get this out on time. I'm going to be burning the midnight oil writing this thing because I stay busy with hearings and your show the rest of the time. So, I really got to honk on here.
All right. Well, you may want to bookmark buzzburbank.com to make sure to see whether or not he actually works out a newscast for this week and isn't snowed over by all of the news. Yeah. Again, that's buzzburbank.com, also realmnetwork.com. Follow Buzz at Michael J. Elston on Twitter and, of course, on Facebook and everywhere else your social media desires take you. Meanwhile, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network can be found at sexyliberal.com. Jody Hamilton's show, Stephanie Miller's show. Oh, my God, John Fugelsang's show, Final Word with Frangela, the great Rude Pundit, and so many more. Again, that's sexyliberal.com for the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, including this here little teeny tiny show. Okay, that's it. Postmortem show coming up next on our Patreon page. If you're subscribed at $5 a month, you can get the Postmortem show. It's us continuing to talk after this music is done. Take care, folks. See you on, Wednesday's show. We're interviewing, we're talking with Charles Johnson from Little Green Football. He's making a return appearance to the show, so we'll talk to Charles tomorrow about all things impeachment, etc. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Jody Hamilton, host of the podcast From the Bunker. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week Sean Barton, David Shockett, and I discuss politics, sports, pop culture, that show on HBO that I don't watch. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.